Hey, I'm Terry Molinaro, and I believe that we as the body of Christ are here for such a time as this. I love to say this, blessed to be a blessing, that we are called to be a light. And look, friends, if we don't do it, if we aren't the light, who's going to be the light? The body of Christ has always been a house of action. And hey, who says we can't have some fun along the way?
Terry, it's Ryan Seacrest. You're in broadcast. I'm trying to be in broadcast. There's something in common. Good luck to you, Seacrest House.
This is the Church Acts Podcast. Today in the podcast, I want to do something that I felt like I haven't done in a while. That's get very, very, very practical. I think it's so important to talk about the spiritual, right? Obviously, it's called the Church Acts Podcast, the things that are going on behind the scenes, if you will. But it's also very important to remember that, hey, we do live in a physical world, a world of cause and a world of effect. Maybe that was a bit confusing for you. So if it was, here's a practical example about how both the spiritual and the physical meet up. A reason why it's important that we don't neglect one of the, you know, one or the other completely. There was a well-known pastor who was traveling all over the world, speaking messages that God had given him to speak. And I'm actually not sure if there's ever been a single pastor or spiritual leader, we could say, that has had a more profound impact on my life personally. Someone who just has this incredible ability to communicate what's in the Bible in a way that is accessible to so many without really losing the truth and the power, if that makes sense. I think it's easy sometimes for people to fall into either of those camps. Either they are so practical and you're like, I kind of feel like there's really no depth there, or they're like so spiritual and so versed in the Bible in a way where you can't really understand and they can't make it practical. So this person, just their ability and gift to take very profound truths and distill them into things that I could understand and, you know, implement in my own life, super gifted in that. And that's why I just gravitated towards him and his teachings so much. Anyway, he was speaking once and he shared about this time where he was on stage somewhere speaking, and all of a sudden he starts to see stars. Like, you know, when you stand up too quickly after sitting down for a while, yeah, stars like that, like lightheaded and all the things that go along with that. See, at that time, as he told in his story, he thought that going to the gym was a complete waste of time. Physical fitness, just a waste of time. Like, he would just eat whatever, do whatever. And he kind of had one of those physiques where you could be almost like, what do they call it? Like skinny fat, where it's like, you're not healthy, but you're skinny. So people don't talk to you about how you're not healthy, even though you're really unhealthy. He joked that that was before he got up on stage and saw the stars. And then he completely changed his lifestyle after that because, you know, he was just realizing that he was in very bad state and starting to go to the gym, so on and so forth. And it got me thinking, when you are sick, maybe when God forbid you have the flu, or maybe you throw out your back. I was talking with somebody the other day and they're like, oh, you know, I threw out my back. Both of which have happened to me in the past, by the way. I have to ask myself as I'm thinking back, like, how effective was I at that point in time? Or how effective are you when you're sick or these things happen? See, when you're so out of breath from being so out of shape, like someone even I know, that you can't even walk down a flight of stairs without having to take a minute to catch your breath, how effective do you think you're going to be able to be, or are able to be? There was someone the other day when Magna and I went for a walk even. We started walking and saw this person. We're like, hey, you want to come for a walk? And he physically was not able to because of some lifestyle choices, we'll call them. Now, here's the thing. I'm not picking on anyone here. I get that some people have ailments and things that legitimately hinder their lives. But my point is, what good is it if you are the most gifted speaker with all this revelation, all this knowledge, you know, in the Bible, all these things that could help so many people, if physically you've made the decisions, or series of decisions, I should say, to not take care of your health to the point where you can't get up and go, you can't, you know, get up on the stage or walk up to the people or whatever it is that God really has in store for you. So we have the spiritual, but we also have free will and the power of decision. We are currently living in the state of the sum total of decisions that we've made up until this point. You'd say, Terry, that's a bit harsh. What's harsh is blaming all the things wrong in your life on God, not moving, or, you know, on the government or on the person that did this, when the power of decision is actually yours to freely and fully change. Now, today's not just about like physical exertion and the state of your body. That's not like the only point. That was just like a parallel that I'm trying to make, that, yeah, what good is like all these gifts on our lives if physically we can't actually go up on the stages. Like, what good is it if God gives me all these messages if physically I actually can't deliver them? You know, is change easy? That's the question. I think we all know the answer to that. You know, there's this guy that's been taking over social media the last couple of years. So Alex Hormozi, author of $100 million offers. And I think his second book that came out not too long ago, it's $100 million leads. I could be wrong on that title though. Anyway, so he was doing an interview with this productivity YouTuber who happened to want to get fit. That was one of his goals. So he asked him, man, like, how is it, Alex? Like, this guy's pretty fit. Like, how is it that you're able to like maintain a six pack all year round? And what Alex had to say was really interesting. So he spoke about something called your baseline. How odds are, hey, you've stayed around the same current weight you are, like the current body fat percentage, for a very long time. How maybe you have little dips and spikes, but you know, you're used to the routine of eating and working out and activity that keeps you at that baseline. He said, it's not hard. I've had a six pack for like years. I just do the same things. That was one of the comments that got me thinking even about the episode Inertia that I did two episodes ago, how it really takes a greater force than what's keeping us where we are to really push us out of things to create a new baseline. But change is not easy. That baseline is so easy. Like, I found myself I think it was maybe a month ago, and I'm like, okay, I'm working out hard, but if I'm going to see real results, I need to work on my diet. I need to work on nutrition. And I did that. And then one thing after the next happened, and there's like inconvenient, all these different things, which is where I could actually go in and make it more convenient so I don't fall off. And then I just found myself in the same place and I didn't have that plan anymore. And I'm like, wow, I'm just eating the exact same. Why? Because that's my baseline. The energy required to truly change, it takes an immense force. But if you feel like you do not have anything left in you to give, don't be discouraged, because we've just started the podcast today, right? So don't like the product. Well, if nothing changes, what happens? Nothing changes. So if any area you do not like the results that you've been getting, you need to change the inputs. You need to change out the parts in the machine. Instead of sending the raw materials left, you need to send them right in some areas and then left in some other areas. The question is, how are we practically going to do this? Well, there are two parts. The thinking part, the getting still, being with ourselves. Like, actually, no worship music. There's a time for music if there's a time to be still, right? Be still and take an honest look at what's been going on. Look at the areas that are maybe more difficult, more challenging. Listen, you're smart. How'd things arrive at this point? Ask God to give you wisdom, to open you up to seeing what's really been going on. You know, what's the root of the situations that you've been experiencing? Ask him to show you even the hidden areas that need to be changed, that maybe need to be slightly tweaked or arranged differently. The Bible says that God is good to give us the wisdom that we need, how we just need to ask him for it. See, I'm sorry if this is new news to you, but God wants you to win in your life. He does not want your life to look like a country song. You know, dog died, truck broke down, flat broke. Like, if we think of that and like that as ambassadors, does that give God glory when a child of his is not doing well? Now, there are sacrifices, but think about it. If one of your kids, or imagine you have a kid, they're just stuck in life, always having issues, always in trouble. Everything is a crisis, you know? Of course not. You'd want them to be in good health, able to pay their bills, able to live life and experience life to the fullest. And I don't think it's any different with our relationship with God and what he wants for us. You know, it's a verse that is often misquoted, so I was almost tempted to like go on autopilot that, but it's true. I know that this is not necessarily the context of this verse, but I think that the essence of it is true. Like, God does have good plans for us, right? So that's the first step, the getting quiet, the evaluation. But then there's another part to this, and that's the practically stepping up and then moving forward, the implementation of change. What does that look like? Well, it depends on the situations and the circumstances that we face. But if it helps you, ask yourself, am I ready for what God has for me to do? Am I physically able? Am I mentally sharp? Do I know the word of God? Of course, there are also specific things to your area of influence. Like, if you're a communicator, it could be, do I know how to effectively hold a conversation with a crowd of people? Do I rely on my notes? Can I generate ideas on the spot? Whatever it is. I think the how and the what trip a lot of people up. You know, what am I supposed to do? Well, if you don't already know, just be guided by this question. And this is pretty powerful. A lot of people really just need to start doing this to start really changing things in their life. What would the best version of myself do? Would they sleep in all the time? Would they eat like crap? Would they not take care of themselves? Would they have bad hygiene? Would the best version of myself really be going outside in, like, you know, my pajama pants to go to Walmart? And I know, like, I don't know what it is, man, with some people, they're like totally fine with that. I don't think that's fine. Okay. Like, you want to present yourself well in pajama pants and, you know, looking like a slob and stuff like that. Like, that's not cool. I'm not saying, like, that's you if you wear pajama pants. I'm just saying, like, okay, maybe I am saying that, not that you're a slob, but listen, not a great first impression if you're walking around in your pajamas, right? That's honestly an excellent starting point that could generate a lot of results for a lot of people. What would the best version of yourself do? Ask you that, yourself that in any situation. I've done podcasts on the on this topic in the past where, like, I'm feeling a certain way, and then I feel like that autopilot coming on, that baseline that just wants to keep me in the same place. And then I ask myself, hey, what would the best version of myself do right now? And what that does, I think you look at yourself outside of your current circumstances and how you feel. And then it's easy to kind of separate that, because we all really know, like, don't work out, do work out, you know, eat this crap, or, like, you know, drink the Coke or drink the water. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we all know the things that are better for us. It's just disassociating ourselves with our current state so we can actually reach for something higher. Let's say that you do have the basics down and you find yourself staring up at the base of a mountain, though. You know that at the top there is change. There is a better way to do things than the way you've always been doing them. Where do you go from there? Like, how do you really approach that situation? Well, first I'd say you'll probably realize that the destination is in fact closer than you think. I just want to encourage you with that. That the destination is not as rewarding usually as the journey, that the thing that you place as the most important, the pinnacle, will change over time as well. But practically speaking, you take things one, and I'm using specific words here, consistent, deliberate. Another way you can say that is intentional, relentless, step at a time. So check this out today. And this is what kind of sparked my idea for the podcast today. So I was going to do some laundry. So I went upstairs to the place where our laundry is, and I grabbed the blacks or the laundry that I had to do. There was a lot. So I had, like, this huge two armfuls. Like, I'm holding all this laundry and I'm walking down the stairs, which at my house, by the way, they're, like, pretty steep and I can't see my feet. They're actually so steep that, like, I've fallen down the stairs, like, more than once, which I hate to admit, but it is true. Anyway, I don't want to fall again. So I had this split second of, oh no, can't see where I'm walking, can't see my feet. But then my mind remembered the feeling of me taking those steps for years. It knows the feeling, the pattern, the rhythm, one foot in front of the next, in front of the next. See, I don't have to see my feet actually moving. I don't have to see the stairs. I know that if I consistently put one foot in front of the next, stair by stair, I'll safely make it down. Like, can you imagine how difficult that would be if, like, you had to literally just strain and use all your mental capacity, like, as you're walking outside, okay, left foot and now hinge at the hip and then, you know, your knee, and then it extends and that puts that foot in the, okay, and now the next one, what? Like, it'd be impossible, right? It is no difference with your life. We need to be effective in what God has for us to do. You know, we need to find what it is that, you know, what it is that we need to do if we don't already know, because a 6, 7, 8-figure job or a relationship will not really bring us true contentment. And I think a lot of people could be experiencing that right now, you know, or the fulfillment that we crave. Only walking in the fullness of what God really has for us will. Why? Because we've been created for these purposes. But in order to do that, in order to walk in the fullness sometimes, like what we've been talking about in the podcast today, we need to get real practical, right? So we can actually step into that. Because if we're to do the thing, we need to practically be able to. If God has called me to a stage, I need to physically, as I mentioned, be able to get out of my seat and walk up on it and deliver what God has placed on my heart to give. You know, practically speaking, look at this podcast. I was in radio for almost 13 years. I practiced my craft day after day after day, writing shows, scripting this and that, you know, speaking, being faithful. So then when God came to me, put it on my heart to start a podcast, I was able to step into that. And now I'm able to do it. And I know it's not perfect. Like, I know I have a long way to go and a lot to learn, but The average podcast stops after the first episode. The majority don't make it past 7. Well, you know, as I said, a long way to go, but it's been 4 years, never missed an upload, and we're almost on episode 100. This is episode 96 that you're listening to right now. See, I've done episodes when I was going through tough times, easy times, when I had no stress, when I had a lot of stress, when I felt inspired, when I did not feel inspired. Because the grace of God to do what he has for me to do empowers me. But the consistency and faith and willingness to step up and out causes that grace to be turned into action that can actually go and bless the world and impact people. So today, in whatever it is that you're facing, remember, our lives are the product, the end product, like where our current state in life, the end product of that factory of decision-making. Think of it literally like a factory. If you don't like the end product, change the process. In order to do that, we need to take time, be still with God, ask him to show us where we have been going wrong, you know, the hidden things even. And then we need to step up and out and start implementing the changes, the small, daily, consistent changes. When we do, we'll not only walk and step into the fullness of our ability, but we'll really show ourselves tested and approved. Someone who God can delegate things to and know that they will happen. So I pray that when God looks down on you and I, he'll say, hey, I know that Jason, that Bella, Jerick, and Maddie, that Don, Manda, Terry, you know, that Josh, Magna, whoever, they've got things locked down. They can handle what I'm wanting to send their way because through the fire, through the consistent intentional thinking and training, they have shown themselves approved. Because remember, for whom much is given, much is also required. I was talking to someone not too long ago on the phone, and I was like, you know, do you know why that you're getting this information, if you shall, you're getting this wisdom from God? She's like, why? It's like, because you have a good heart, and God knows that if he gives stuff to you, he can trust you. See, I'll tell you what, like, do you think it's by coincidence? Like, I just walk down the stairs and I'm holding the laundry, right? Do you think it's like by accident that all of a sudden I have this idea of like, oh, I can't see my steps. And then, you know, that kind of relates to this. And I'm thinking like this. Do you think that when I was on the radio station, it wasn't like, oh, what am I going to talk about today? But I had all these ideas just come to me. Okay, you need to talk about this and then talk about this. And like, I make these connections in my mind. No, because God knows that if he gives me something, I will share it. And that's why stuff keeps being given to me and different wisdom and different, you know, pieces of information are given to me when I can open up the Bible and then just draw things out. And maybe I shouldn't even be talking about me because it does feel a bit cringy. But like even that pastor that I was talking about earlier, why do you think it was that he was given such gifts and ability to be able to make the complicated things simple and like be able to perfectly relate it with his life experiences and all these things in a way that would impact millions of people? Because God knew that if he gave those gifts and that responsibility to that person, he's developed it to the point where he's going to be able to take that and then maximize those gifts and actually be able to share them with people. I was giving this person an example. It's like if there were two people and, you know, and one of them, they never did anything and they're irresponsible or whatever. And you had a package that needed to be urgently delivered. Like, and there was two people and one of them was known for always being on time, always being, you know, proficient at the job, all these things. Obviously, you would give the one who was capable of fulfilling the mission, the package. You wouldn't give the person who's just going to stand there and spoil it. And the same thing is with us. If we are tested and approved, now I'm not saying like workspace, like, oh, I need to prove myself to God. But if we are people, and you know what? Maybe is that not a sign of maturity as a Christian? Is obedience, is okay, God, if you give me this, I will be obedient to do this as your ambassador. I think that's something to actually think about, you know, because if God looks at us, like, why would he give us something if we knew we were just going to say, oh, okay, that's great. You gave me this and like, whatever, I'm just going to throw it off to the side. You know, so are we actually actively working on ourselves, practically getting better, practically? Like, are we a type of person who people want to be around? I'll tell you what, this can get as big or as small as possible. If God has given me wisdom to go speak to people and I don't have the discipline to brush my teeth and I go up to people, what's going to happen? And look at me and say, that's disgusting. Okay. We all know those people, those conversations. Okay. Oh, God bless her. I remember there was this one person, I'm not going to mention, this was many years ago, and she kept trying to have a conversation with me and I was like trapped, y'all. Okay. I was pinned and she's like trying to talk to me. And then we were in church and she was like singing next to me and the breath was just like, She needed more than a Tic Tac. Okay. I don't even know what was going on there, but it was pretty nasty. Like, you know, so just like very practically, like, how are we presenting ourselves? Are you an approachable person? One person I know too, and I'm not trying to go on a tangent. I'm about to wrap it up here with the scripture verse, but there's one person and she's always going on, I got no friends. I got no friends. I got this. Like, you know, I feel like I could be a good person. But then you sit there. I know this person, they sit there and then they're like, they act so grumpy all the time. I was like, if you want friends, maybe you should tell your face that. Okay. Maybe that's going to help with this whole friend situation. Are you a pleasant person to be around? What are you attracting? What are these things that are going on? Are you showing yourself to be approved? Because I'll tell you what, if you don't have a heart for people, if you just want to be grumpy all the time and, oh, you know, woe is me and like Eeyore is your spirit animal and all these different things, you think God's going to be sending you to people who he really cares about, who needs help, who need encouragement, and you're over there just bringing nothing but a cloud of discouragement? I don't think so, right? Let's get to the scripture. So Matthew 24, verses 45 through 51. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away so long, you know, a long time. And he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him. And at an hour he is not aware of, he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We actually think about that. There's a lot going on. Matthew 24, verses 45 through 51. If you don't know what to do for devotions, just really think about that verse as well. See, to whom much is given, much is required. Much is required, right? And here's the thing. Don't get it twisted. One day we're going to have to give an account because you have been given a gift. Whoever you are right now that I'm talking to, listen, you have been given a specific gift. Okay, it's not just to make money or to just have fun and stuff like that. Our job, we need to discover what that is. And then we need to actively be working towards that, refining that. So then when we meet God one day and he goes, hey, listen, I gave you this gift. It's not going to be a surprise to us. What do you mean you gave me the gift to speak to other people? I was an introvert. Yeah. Do you know how that introversion started? Instead of going out to youth group, maybe you stayed at home and you wanted to play video games all the time. You hung out with other introverts and then their nature jumped onto you. I never gave that to you. It's just interesting when you start to think of it like that. I'm not trying to bring anyone down or trying to give everyone a hard time, but we need to think about these things. You know, the Bible says, ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. When you ponder the path, you think about it. Okay, where am I going? Is this me? Is this the direction that I know that I need to be going in? Is this the direction that I know that God has for me? Then he says, after you pondered that, your ways will be sure. You're going to have that direction. Okay. Here's the thing. The Bible also says he who seeks finds. Okay. God's not just trying to hide the calling from you. He's not trying to hide the gifts. Steve Harvey actually does a great conversation on this too. Like your gift, what is it? It's the thing that is like effortless to you. You know, like I can go into almost any conversation. Magna's seen this in the past too. I was in a McDonald's once. I think I shared this once on the show a long time ago. And it's like late at night, it's youth group. And I'm ordering and it's like a busy McDonald's, like all these teenagers around. I see this guy and I'm like, hey man, how's it going? And like, and he's saying something. And like, I noticed he hesitated. And so I just started talking to him. And I kid you not, it was like we were the only two people in that McDonald's. And all of a sudden I start to feel the Holy Spirit start moving and I'm talking to this person and he is just so impacted. There's this other lady and someone told me about this recently and you know, she was listening and I was talking to someone else. She was just blown away. It was just a peace that was just filling the room. Why? I don't know if this person knows the Lord, but I was operating and I was walking in my gift. I was just talking. I'm just being there for someone, right? And I care about people, right? And she felt like the presence of God. She's like, man, this is hilarious. She goes to someone. She's like, hey, this person needs to be protected, okay? You need to like protect this guy, okay? But that's the thing. It's not about me. It's like you have that too, where you're operating that gift and people are around you and you're like, man, the way that that person smiles, the way that they're standing next to me and I just feel known by them. Man, the way that that person, like I'm thinking about another person, the way that they just hug that person makes them feel like just so loved and accepted. The way that that person is always just serving in such a beautiful way, where it's like, I know everything else is taken care of because they're just so happy to serve. The way that they're so hospitable, the way that they are, you know what I'm saying? Let's take care of people. And the way that we do that is by stewarding the gifts that God has, you know, given to us well. And the way that we do that is sometimes by taking the practical, consistent steps to be able to step into the fullness of what God has for us. You can never say in good conscience that you have not been called. Your life is not an accident and God has not forgotten about you. I hear people say, well, if God hasn't, then why am I stuck in this job? And I'm thinking of some people right now specifically, or why is this my circumstance? Decision-making machine. Did you have a part in your machine that processes life decisions through prayer, through seeking God? Listen, my friend, you can't blame God after not seeking him. Hello, I can't get in my car, drive to Toronto, and then complain that my car didn't, you know, take me to a different city. I chose to turn here. I chose to turn there, chose to take that road and that highway. And even if I didn't choose, for those of us who are in situations because of other people's choices, maybe someone else was driving me in the car. Well, I can choose what I do right here and now. I pray that God will give you wisdom, that God will give you strength, and that you will do the practical along with the spiritual and step into all that God has for you. God bless, my friends.